Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. Lisa Michelle Anderson is a Berkshire-based folk rock singer-songwriter with a new album and record release show coming up this week. Get to Somewhere, produced by Johnny Irian, is a collection of true stories that have shaped Lisa's life and work.
She grew up in the middle of nowhere, smoking behind the barn when nobody was home. Throwing empty beer cans out car windows. Her future was written in stone. She had a 1970s pickup, jump start to make it go. Her daddy thought she should take it real slow. Her mama said, you gotta make your own road. She wanted to drive to somewhere, anywhere but there. She wanted to get herself somewhere, anywhere but there.
Get to Somewhere comes out this Friday, April 4th, and Lisa Michelle Anderson will play an album release concert with special guests at the Lion's Den in Stockbridge, Massachusetts on Saturday, April 5th. She joins us now. Lisa Michelle Anderson, congratulations on the record and welcome to the Roundtable.
Thank you so much, and thank you for having me in.
So you have lived all over the world.
Yes.
Let's get a sort of summary about where you've been, how it's influenced you, your memoir in a few sentences, if you can.
Okay. Well, I started out in Southeast Kansas and lived there for many years until I was about 13, 14. My father was an art professor there at the small university. My mom is a secretary at the university. And my sister and I grew up just really involved with music. And when my parents divorced, my mother got a job with the Foreign Service. And that took us from Southeast Kansas to Australia.
A bit of a trek?
It was a bit of a trek. And we absolutely loved it there. We spent 3 years in Australia. And that was really where I learned to play guitar. Up until that point, I'd been studying piano, violin, and singing when and whenever I could. Mm-hmm. And after that, we ended up living in Iran and then moving to, which was very interesting,
sure,
and then moving to Athens, Greece, where I graduated from high school.
How did you find your way to the Berkshires?
I had been living in Minneapolis and was very involved with the music scene there. And I met my now husband through mutual friends. I didn't even know where the Berkshires were.
Sure.
Or what they were.
Yeah.
And we sort of did the long distance relationship for quite some time and then made the decision that I would move. But we always thought that if my husband's name is Barth, if Barth, you know, wanted to move, we could also go back to Minnesota. But I've been here ever since and love the music scene and been recording and playing in various bands and also now my solo project.
Do you recall if when your mother began working for the Foreign Service and you realized you'd be living in different places around the world, if you were excited about that possibility or if you were conflicted about it? How did that strike you?
My sister and I were actually quite excited. And I think it was our upbringing, my dad being an artist and my mother absolutely loved to travel. And my parents actually, when they got married, the first thing they did, they took off for Europe for 6 months, bought a little car, drove around. And my mother always instilled that desire to travel, learn different things. So this was a huge change, but we were so excited. I'm really happy that we got to have that chance because not a lot of people get that opportunity. And it was really special for us.
So you were excited to Get to Somewhere,
yes,
which is the title of your record.
Yes.
What kind of stories are you telling in the collection of songs that you put on this album?
Well, this album really came together around the notion of traveling and going somewhere else, but maybe you don't always get to physically go there, but you can maybe leave a place in your mind's eye. And the song Get to Somewhere is really about when I eventually made my way back to Kansas around 18. I was either going to move to Nashville or California, but I really was dreaming of going to California. So I drove across the country. Fortunately, I had a few friends living there and then put together a country band. So a lot of these songs are about traveling, the desire to get somewhere else, and some of them are about the hometown that I grew up in Kansas, and some are about other places, but all lived experiences and nine songs that really came together sonically and also to kind of tell a whole story, which I've always wanted to do is create an album that felt as if the songs all went together in some way. So that's how Get to Somewhere came about.
How did you know when you had the nine songs? I know it's kind of, what is the word I'm looking for? Ephemeral feeling, mm-hmm. I imagine, to know that you have the songs and that mm-hmm. they're ready to really put it all into a record yeah. and put that actually out into the world. What was the sense that gave you a feeling of completion?
I think really it was, well, I worked with Johnny Irion, was the person who produced the album. This yep. is our fourth project together.
Friend of the station.
Yes.
Hi,
studio.
Johnny.
Fourth studio project together. It took quite a while because he's a touring musician, so we often would just have to fit in studio time when he was back in the Berkshires. But in between him leaving, he would often just keep telling me to keep writing. So I just kept writing more and more songs. And then by the time we'd end up in the studio, songs that I thought would be on the album didn't end up on the album. It was really starting to come together as a cohesive piece of work, which is what I had always wanted. And I thought I had it, but I didn't. So, you know, the beauty of self-reflection and the beauty of being able to edit your own work and keep at it is something that I've really developed over the past few years.
I want to play portions of some of the songs so that listeners can get a feel for this album yes. even before it comes out on April 4th. Polaroid Summer. What is the sort of specific tale you're telling in that song?
Polaroid Summer is a song about summer love and the notion of having this sort of perfect relationship. Even though it's only for a few months long, it seems so in the moment, it seems so forever. And then as the sun starts to get a little lower in the sky, as I like to say, mm-hmm. and the nights get a little cooler, sometimes summer love starts to cool off. And often people are going to different places. So once again, kind of that theme of maybe you met someone during the summer, but they're just here for a short time or you're there for a short time. But it feels very important. Sometimes it lasts, and that's wonderful. And not always. So really, it was just this idea of kind of reliving a summer love.
Love me. Love me not. Four-leaf clovers can't be bought. Wishing and falling stars. Our days would go forever as long as we're together. Time would never end. We could close our eyes and just pretend.
It's part of Polaroid Summer from Lisa Michelle Anderson's new record, Get to Somewhere, a sort of spiritual successor in message, if not style, to Summer Lovin' from Greece.
Yes.
Where you don't end up at the same high school and change your whole personality for a guy.
Yeah.
All right. Again, the album is Get to Somewhere. I want to share also Flags and Flowers. Could you tell us about Flags and Flowers, please?
Flags and Flowers is a song written about when I was growing up in Kansas. And during that time as a young person, the biggest open space in our town closest to our home was the cemetery. Mm-hmm. And my sister and I still chuckle about this, how much time we actually spent in the cemetery. We were quite respectful, but there'd be these huge gangs of young people, and we'd play kickball, and then we'd run around the cemetery reading the headstones, and we were fascinated. And also, since it was a small town, we knew kind of everyone in it, including the people that ran the funeral home. And I actually remember we went to the funeral home on a field trip one time, and someone teased me, and they said, well, you guys must have just been running out of places to go. And I said, well, probably.
Yeah, sure. It costs money to bus kids further afield, so what's in town?
Exactly. But it was really interesting, and I'd never been inside one. And also then we became friends with the young people that families owned it. And it really was a family business in those days, and meaning that the whole family lived there also. So it made for some very interesting conversations. And I just have this warm feelings of Flags and Flowers, the title. And I've been wanting to write this song for a very long time, and it finally came together for the album.
You gave me a note asking if we could be alone. It just so happened your folks owned the funeral home. Casket sermons and guest books. When you went to work, your own black look.
Flags and Flowers from Lisa Michelle Anderson's new record, Get to Somewhere. You said before we played that portion of the song that you'd been wanting to write it for a long time, and then you have gotten to now it's on a record. What is that delay like, and how does the song find you when you realize you can write it?
Well, for me, I often start off with the idea of a song, or maybe I'll come up with a title of a song. I just wrote it down, the idea, and I wrote down a few sentences or lines to kind of go with it, but it just never felt like it was coming naturally. And I honestly think there was a little competition, because at one point, I remember someone saying that they wanted to write a song about a funeral home. And I said, I've been wanting to do that for a long
time,
too.
Excuse me, that was my field trip.
And then I thought, I better get cracking.
That can help. Competition is a great motivator.
I think it was. But the way I write is with a basic idea, I really give myself permission to do a lot of free writing. So sometimes the free writing can take several weeks, where I just write down everything and anything that might come into my head that would maybe be an amazing line. And then I go back and I have to delete quite a few lines to finally get to the final project. And then again, even in the studio, what often happens is the magic of the studio happens, and suddenly a line maybe doesn't fit or a word doesn't fit. So you're constantly quickly kind of change and, you know, move around what's going to work with the music also.
There's a period of time when you are done working on the record and it has to, you know, go to press, essentially, get pressed on vinyl, et cetera, et cetera. It can be a lot of months before you actually get to put it out, before you get it into the ears of your listeners. And you're in that moment right now as we're speaking, only for a few more days.
Yes.
What is that like?
It's very slow. It's painfully sure. slow for me. And I did release two singles. The whole notion is to release a couple singles. Mm-hmm. I did a couple music videos. But I have been so anxious to get this out into the world. And I guess the best thing that's been keeping me busy is the promotion. But also, I'm starting to write the next album. So it feels good to be moving forward and then also celebrating this piece of work that will be out in a few short days.
As you write new songs and get excited about them, do you typically then add them to your set list when you play live? Because you're playing an album release show in Stockbridge, Mass at the Lion's Den on the 5th, but you're also going to tour internationally this year.
Yes.
So will you add new songs to the live show?
Definitely.
Yeah.
I love that part. And fortunately, the very talented musicians that play with me, G. Winard, who's an amazing vocalist and drummer, and Simon Guthrie on keys, they're very much open to just jump in and play a new song. And sometimes we wouldn't have a chance to rehearse it all together. Maybe I've just sent them a recording. But to me, that's the beauty of live music. And when you play something new live for an audience, sometimes it takes its own shape and it goes in a direction that you never thought it would, either with the timing or I might mix in a different vocal line. And so to me, that's the beautiful thing about live music, is keeping it really fresh and keeping me on my toes.
Yeah. And you get to workshop the new
exactly.
songs before you put them
exactly.
down forever.
And sometimes people come up and go, oh my gosh, I love that. Or sometimes it might be lukewarm response. So it's kind of fun to just see what's going to unfold.
Another song on the album that I want to share is Going Where Joni Went. Joni, of course, the only Joni I imagine anybody would think of when hearing that name in a musical interview context, Joni Mitchell.
Yes.
Tell us about this song, please.
Well, when I first started to learn to play the guitar, I was in Australia, and I had never heard of Joni Mitchell until I got there. And I was a teenager at this point, 16, 17, and I became just obsessed, as most of us have become obsessed with Joni Mitchell at some point in our lives. And ended up living in Greece, where I graduated from high school. And my girlfriend and I would just put our ears right up to the speaker and listen to every word, every note, memorize every nuance. And she kept her one song, Carrie, which is off the album Blue, which I think is maybe the best album ever written
mm-hmm.
or recorded. And she was talking about, in her song Carrie, about under the Matala moon. And we kept thinking, Matala. And we realized that Matala is on the island of Crete. It's a small fishing village. And we did a little deeper dive and realized that she had been living there, as when how she met her then boyfriend, Carrie. And we thought maybe we could go there too, and we could be cool like Joni Mitchell. So we hopped on a ferry boat, and I think for just like $3, you could sleep on the deck. So we did that with
yeah.
our sleeping bags, and we really just slept on beaches and, you know, don't tell my family, but, you know, public parks and things like that to get there.
I don't know them. I
yeah.
won't tell them. This yeah. is going to be on the radio,
right.
though.
Okay. And we finally made our way to Matala, thinking that we were the only ones in the world that had this great idea. But there were hundreds and hundreds of young people there with guitars and just camping everywhere. And where Joni had lived, there's the beautiful bay of Matala, our Neolithic caves. And she had actually lived in one of the caves.
Of course she did.
And you can go inside. You can't spend the night in them anymore, but you can still go inside and climb the rocks to get to them. And it was just such an amazing experience to be around so many people playing guitar, bonfires. And I kept thinking, I'd really love to write a song that would honor someone that I've adored for so long, but I couldn't figure out how could I do that to make it not so kind of corny or cliche. So I thought, well, we went where Joni went, and that's how the song came about.
We were traveling around on our own odyssey, sleeping on the beach, we didn't care. Never got old, making friends, we were never alone. No hot water, but that was okay. Maybe a bar of soap if you could pay. not, 'cause we were having fun. We were going where Joni went, that's what we did. We were tracing her steps, that's what we did. Playing guitar all night long, singing Joni's songs, that's what we did. That's what we did.
Going Where Joni Went from Lisa Michelle Anderson's new record, Get to Somewhere. She is playing a record release show on the 5th at the Lion's Den in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. She'll also be at the Beckett Arts Center on May 4th and Dreamaway Lodge in Beckett, Mass on June 6th. I want to ask you about your other artistic arm before I let you go today. You also make jewelry. How did you run into that and how does it serve you?
Well, I always had a love for jewelry, especially when we were traveling, and I would pick up pieces in little antique shops and often wear it many pieces at a time in those days. And my dad, actually, since he was an artist when we were quite young, he taught my sister and I how to solder.
Cool.
And I think the first thing I ever made was a very large peace sign that I would wear around my neck.
That checks out.
Yeah. And it was out of brass and it was so big, and I just kind of kept thinking, you know, once again, that I don't have to just be a musician, I can also be an artist. And a lot of people do combine art and music, and that was another creative outlet for me. And I really love the notion of making something that people can feel special wearing, not just to go out in, but just every day, something that you put on that makes you feel really great. And so I've been making jewelry, designing jewelry for many years now. And I do some local craft fairs and mainly online.
The new record is Get to Somewhere. It's coming out this Friday. Lisa Michelle Anderson, has been a delight to meet you and speak with you about your art.
Thank you, Sarah. I've been listening to you for a really long time and just thrilled to be here.
Lisa Michelle Anderson's new record, Get to Somewhere, comes out this Friday, April 4th. The album release show at the Lion's Den in Stockbridge, Massachusetts is on Saturday, April 5th at 7 p.m. To learn more, visit lisamichelleanderson.com. I'm Sarah LeDuc, and you're listening to The Roundtable.
Sunlight dancing on my face. Screened in porch, our special place. Drinking iced tea to cool us down. Wondering if we should go into town. Wallpaper that's seen better days. Rusty lock on the backyard gate. Love notes on the fridge door. Bought me from the dime store. Sometimes I wouldn't have it any other way. Every morning a new day. Sometimes I wish we could run away. Put it under your pillow tonight. Let's see what tomorrow brings. Together, simple home. Far as you can see, sky and earth below. Prairies and dirt roads. Dust on our shoes and our souls. Sometimes I wouldn't have it any other way. Every morning new day. Sometimes I wish we could run away. Put it under your pillow tonight. Let's see what tomorrow brings. Mm-hmm. tomorrow.